Hi, this is Jason Aaron, writer of Thor: God of Thunder, and you're listening to Nerd Management.
Oh, you better be ready, or you better get ready, for an exciting new Nerd Management. Live from Rockefeller Plaza, New York City, this is everybody. And we're your hosts, Warner Swopes
and Alec Ward.
A caveman.
We have our producers with us, Justin Richard Smith.
Oh, Richard.
Who almost didn't even make it.
Yeah.
That is kind of close. And Chris Banta.
What chocolate?
Delicious.
Banta. And of course, we've got our social media specialist, Tiffany Swopes, with us tonight.
Taffy. Her name is Taffy.
Green that's apple flavor.
That's your Twitter handle from now
on.
That's her
radio persona.
Yeah, you can get. She's got a character.
Yeah.
Taffy in the morning.
Yeah. All right.
We wanted to lie.
We got a lot of stuff to lay on here tonight. We'll start with our books of the week.
Why don't you start? Okay, fine. This is second week of Villains Month.
Which, I gotta say, I didn't think was gonna be as enjoyable as it actually is.
Yeah, well, and like, the first week we had the Joker, which was...
This
week, my favorite book, actually, even though the one that I was most excited about, The Riddler, came out this week.
Good book.
Which was good.
Not our book of the week.
Yeah, my favorite was Black Manta, number one, written by Geoff Johns and co-written by another guy, and I don't know who it was. I didn't pay that much attention, because...
I think it was actually Matt Kent.
What?
I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway.
Let us know on Twitter if Warner's right. But anyway, I thought it was great, and it was the difference between it and all the other Villains Month books that have come out so far is it directly influenced the events in Forever Evil, which is great.
A couple of them have. Two-Face did that pretty directly, and then...
But I mean, you know, all the other ones that I've read, it hasn't even come close to that. So I very much appreciated it, and... I mean, you read it too, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was one of my favorite books this week.
Yeah. What I liked, another part that I like most about it is, you know, Amanda Waller even says in it, when she offers Black Manta to be on Suicide Squad and he turns it down, she says, you know, what are you going to do if you ever end up killing Aquaman? And this is, even though he didn't kill Aquaman, but this is what he would do if anything were to ever happen. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And it kind of draws the line of, like, where he's going to be in the fight versus the two different villain teams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I thought that was cool. My book of the week was, again, this week, was X-Men Battle of the
X-Men. Oh, no!
Part 3 came out this week, and that book, like, normally I hate when a miniseries is super, super long.
Yeah.
And then that's all these tie-ins, and it crosses over all the X-Men titles, and it's a 10-part series, and you have to buy... each part individually, and at first I was like, wow, they're just really ripping me off on my money. But no, it's so solid, and part 3, and I'm still like, man, I could totally do for at least 7 more parts of this story. It's so good.
And I didn't read it. This is one of the books that I didn't actually read, but from what you showed me, it picks up literally like the
moment
first page.
Part 2 leaves off, which was an entirely different X-Men book.
Yeah.
They're doing a really good job where AVX didn't really do the whole changing writers very well.
Yeah.
Like, when the writers changed, you could tell.
That's what I was going to say is, like, my least favorite part about it was that all of every issue is a different creative team, and I'm not, I don't know.
But
they're
doing a good job with it.
Taffy.
They're doing a good job with
it. You paid attention to Twitter,
everyone's just being so inappropriate in here, and I'm trying to talk over it, and it's not working. But anyway, X-Men Battle of the Atom. It's so cool because Cyclops has been such a crappy character lately. Because
he is.
Like, you know,
a crappy character.
He sort of became a villain after the whole AVX thing, and he's leading kind of a bad team of X-Men, sort of.
Ragtag group.
And it's so hard to remember, like, why anyone ever liked Cyclops. Until now, we've got the past Cyclops and past Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And just their, like, relationship and their dynamic, you totally understand why people would like Cyclops, because he's really cool, and you're like, what a swell guy. And then it's a drastic difference.
Golly jeepers, yeah. He wins.
What a drastic difference from where he is now. And I think if I had to, and this isn't a spoiler because it's strictly speculation.
I was going to say, we've actually done pretty well on spoilers.
If I have to call what the end of Battle of the Atom is, I would say that...
Right now.
Put your name on it.
I would say that current age Cyclops will get killed, and Jean Grey from the past and Cyclops from the past will stay, and that'll be their way of rebooting the X-Men. It'll just be like, now they're just younger.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
And right. Honestly, there's not any easier way to do it.
Because
right.
There's no way to clean up the mess that is the X-Men continuity right now.
Never a way.
Other than just say, now these past characters are their past selves, but they're in our timeline. There you go.
Fair enough.
The only way... Sorry. And if Bendis does that, because I'm assuming he's going to write the very last issue, because that's how...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure that... If he does that, then he's going to completely redeem himself for Age of Ultron, as far as, like, time... traveling books, I think, in my personal opinion.
It's so crazy because this is so much more coherent than Age of Ultron was.
And I also...
As a time travel story.
I also... The other part I think of that and is Age of Ultron was written a long time ago.
That's
it was written
true.
Like 09. So, I mean...
To the dinosaur days.
Right. That's Jurassic Park times. But, you know, so obviously Bendis is... It's
before terabyte hard drives.
But, yeah, obviously Bendis has grown as a writer, and you can tell with the stuff that he's writing.
Yeah, it's very intricate, but it somehow works, and the time travel stuff doesn't get muddy in any point. So
yeah.
I think that's great. But that was my book of the week.
Yeah.
It probably will be every week, because there's an X-Men book coming out every week for this Battle of the Atom stuff, that's awesome.
But you've got that,
and... But that's something to look forward to, though. Every week I have something awesome to look forward to, and it's...
You have to pay for, four Villains Month books as well.
Yeah, but the X-Men books are staying. I think it's $2.99 for all the X-Men books.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
The Med book we actually shared this week.
Yeah, which was...
And let's preface
great
this
minds,
with...
Great
let's preface
minds,
this
dude.
With... Matt Fraction's Fantastic Four has been amazing.
And I want to further preface that by saying Matt Fraction is one of my favorite writers.
Absolutely.
Ever. Like, I mean, I love it.
But the meh book this week, and it's not even a bad book, it just kind of was hard to hold up, is Fantastic Four. And the reason Fantastic Four is such a meh book this week is because it's been so good all this other time
that it
didn't even live up to itself.
Exactly. I expected so much more out of it. And it was, like you said, it was still a good book. It just, it didn't pack as much of a punch as the other ones did, the other books that came out this week. And we were talking about this earlier before we started. I think, how Matt Fraction's writing it, instead of doing, like, a Fantastic Four reboot, I think they should just do a TV show kind of similar to how Matt Fraction is writing.
Each episode
each
would just
episode
be its own separate
adventure.
Exactly,
that would be
yeah.
so great.
It'd be like Quantum Leap, but if there was four of him.
If that's true. And by the way, if anybody says Quantum Leap's not a good show, you can suck them
up. No. Sure. I'm on board. Like, I really like that idea.
Damn roasted.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
You burned it.
Roasted. I roasted you so good.
Okay.
You could
say,
call the doctor. These burns are to the third degree.
I think it's time for our Getting to Know You segment.
Yeah.
Getting to know you, getting to know all
you're
about
so complete.
You. So we're going to talk about one of my favorite writers in comics.
And one of my favorite writers.
The great and talented Jeff Johns.
Everybody, we have Jeff Johns live in the studio.
Oh, I wish. Dude,
no.
I
plan that?
The studio is my house. So if Jeff
no,
Johns...
No, not.
Just,
we're the Nerd Palace.
The Nerd Palace.
Oh, yeah.
If Jeff
sure,
Johns was just
outside.
In my basement, I would just, like, tell you guys to go up and just hang out one-on-one with Jeff Johns. Like, hey, Jeff, what's your favorite comic book?
You're just,
what's
like, holding his hand.
Word?
So Jeff Johns is responsible for Marriages Falling Apart, I'm pretty sure, because his writing and his decision making is so good that I sometimes can't get word to not focus on Green Lantern or something.
Everything
like that.
He writes is so good.
when he leaves a book, it's so devastating.
It's
like,
so devastating.
When he left Green Lantern, I'm still trying to recover from that, and then they just announced that he's leaving Aquaman.
I was going
to
say that's what actually influenced
watching
and that's
down.
A bummer because
Twilight.
I don't know who the writer of Aquaman is going to be. The guy they announced, I don't know who that is. So he
Tony
could be
Todd
good.
Or something like
I didn't know who Charles Soule was before he picked up Swamp Thing. Then he's my favorite writer right now.
Yeah.
And so I think if it's like that situation, I'll keep reading on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. But I'm hoping that means Jeff Johns is going, because he normally does about 3 books.
Yeah.
Well, he's leaving JLA and giving that over to Jeff Lemire for Justice League Canada. I'm super pumped about that.
JLA.
And then he just left Aquaman. So right now he's got Justice League and Forever Evil. That leaves him one more spot.
And Forever Evil is
just temporary.
Only 6 months.
I'm holding out. The Flash writers also left the book. But they said that was their planned plan of leaving.
Which would be great. But he also changed his Twitter. And I'm not one for rumors. Well, I guess I am. But he changed his Twitter header profile picture to Shazam.
Yeah.
Which would be Shazam-ly awesome.
Dude, my dream...
Do you think it's going to happen, yes or no?
Put your name on
it. I'm calling it right now. I think it's happening.
Dude, I think that's more likely than him going back and writing Flash, because his Flash run was amazing.
Well,
and if he could write Justice League, Flash, Shazam...
He did Flashpoint, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if he wrote Justice League, Flash, and Shazam,
Flashpoint.
Shazam,
yeah,
that would be the greatest 3 books he could write.
That'd be great.
Like, I'd
be
so excited.
It would be perfect, because he's obviously been including Shazam in all of the Justice League books. Like, that would be such a great way for him to introduce everyone into the character.
Yeah.
And then, hey, this is actually what I'm going to be taking over as.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, so a little bit to get to know Jeff Johns. Our new Getting to Know You segment is basically going to be, we're going to give you 5 points of a character or a writer. And then, if you want to know more about that character or writer, check our Twitter or our Facebook, and we'll have their Wikipedia page up. And then also, of course, you can, to learn more about comic book characters, you can go to comicbookuniversity.com. and order books from them, or if you're in the Indianapolis area, you can just visit Rob and Dare at Comic Book University, two of our very best friends.
Yes.
And you can check out what they've got there, and they can tell you all about characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right now, we're talking about a writer. We're talking about Jeff Johns. First thing you need to know about Jeff Johns is his first experience with comics, I thought this was really interesting, was him and his brother found a box of old comics in their granddad's attic.
I thought you were going
to
say
No, it was comics. And it was... it was Flash comics, Green Lantern comics, and Superman comics, which those
he
three characters are... are his major favorite characters. And it's obvious that, like, that's why. It's because he found these old Flash and Green Lantern comics that you read.
Do you think he has an unlimited supply of just Green Lantern
hats? Oh, dude, I bet he has... the most just
every interview I ever see him in
Green Lantern
hat. which is fine, but you wrote it for 10 years.
So that was his first experience with comics. One of my favorite characters that he's created over his whole career, and he did a lot for Green Lantern, like tons and tons of characters. But one of my favorite characters that he created, and kind of like a character that's lesser known, is the second incarnation of the Star Spangled Kid, Stargirl.
Who was in
JLA. And one of my she's an awesome character. And he actually created that character in remembrance of his sister who died in the plane crash in 1996.
Oh, see, I was going to make a joke.
We're going to have some sad news, too. But it's cool that he wrote such an awesome character remembrance of this sister.
In the current run of JLA, like, she's the face of JLA.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is never on the team or anything, but she's just kind of like you said, the Star-Spangled Kid. Like, she's just the front and center kind of person.
Right. So then after the tragedy, he went on to pursue his dream of what he was going to do, and he actually did an internship for filmmaker Richard Donner, director of Superman and Superman 2, and he also directed The Goonies, which is one of my all time favorite.
He directed Goonies?
Yes.
All right, this guy just went. Yeah.
But then so Jeff Johns.
We only serve tongue.
So
I quoted.
Hey, Mikey, you gotta go to the bathroom.
I quoted Goonies earlier, and Taffy didn't get any of it.
I love Goonies.
Yeah.
So
sorry,
Jeff Johns, because of his love for Goonies and Superman. Because of his love for Goonies and Superman, he was like, I want to work for Richard Donner. And so he pursued that dream, and he actually became an intern for him. And now him and Richard Donner are, like, super good friends.
Is he related to Jeffy Dahmer?
Not Dahmer, Donner.
I was really hoping you were going to say, like, he mixed Superman and Goonies together.
That's kind of like what he was gonna do is like movie stuff, and he started writing comics. Get this is like the best little tidbit that I found about Jeff Johns is he started writing comics as something just to do on the side. It's like, wow, his career took off.
Right, like J.R. Tolkien wrote the Elvish language on the side.
He actually wrote some Marvel stuff early on in his career. He wrote a little stint on Avengers, and one of my favorite things he ever did was a four-part thing series, like solo series, with, this is the craziest thing, Frank Quietly did the art. You should check it out. It's amazing. And the thing joins this freak show circus and finds this giant egg, and there's a whole mystery about what it is. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but that giant egg has the craziest thing in the Marvel Universe in it. And it, you should just read it. It's amazing. It's four issues.
So
and
my
it's
question,
beautiful.
My question is the thing even more wrinkly because Frank Quietly is trying to, he's like...
Yeah.
Sorry, he's
but anyway, the final little bit of news before we move on to our next thing, the last thing you need to know about Jeff Johns is currently Jeff Johns, after saying he was going to write comic books on the side, currently he's one of the best known writers in comic books.
Yeah.
And he's also the,
he's one of the
chief creative officer of DC Warner Brothers, which means he runs, like, he does a lot for their TV shows and movies. Like,
he
writes on all that.
He
writes
on
episodes
Arrow.
Of Arrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
he's going to be writing the Flash show.
Co-writing it,
yeah.
And he makes a lot of decisions as far as, like, video games and toys, too, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah,
like,
that never happens.
Like,
yeah.
But, so that's, like, he has a lot of decision-making to do. And he writes three books, like, typically we've talked about. And then, also, he co-owns a comic book store in Northridge, California called Earth 2 Comics.
So he's like Kevin Smith, only not.
Only
with less money and capital and
I don't know. I think he makes mad
stats. Yeah, royalties. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it's good.
The story
it's gotta
is
be like
only do things on the side.
Yeah,
and you'll become amazing at
that.
Yeah, just have hobbies that happen to make you super successful.
Right, yeah, I don't know.
Get on that.
Yeah, we're hoping.
Now that's a really good segue. You're getting ready to get married.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to announce that for.
Now,
the only problem with that theory is doing things on the side is a... That'd be a poor call to apply to all of life.
Yeah, don't do that in marriage.
No, she doesn't know anything. She doesn't even know where I am right now. I'm grocery shopping. I can't find the milk,
for
honey.
2 hours.
Milk is the one thing you can always find.
The one you can't find is gnocchi. That's the one
I'm looking... Yeah, but we know how to make that.
I know.
I've got no excuse. Moving on.
All right, let's talk about our top three news, which is a new segment.
Yeah, new segment. Receiving transmission from David Garrett, Nickel Antenna. Newsflash!
Oh, that's
all right.
So good.
So the first thing we need to talk about, we're going to hand this one over to Tiffany because she's going to be our news correspondent as well.
Her name is Taffy.
So
get it right. I'm making
all
this
right,
happen.
So top three in your nerdy news tonight. Number one, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's a new movie released by Warner Brothers. It's in the same universe as Harry Potter and is written by J.K. Rowling, but it is not related to the characters that you so lovingly see currently.
I'm going to hate these
words.
So tell us a little bit about this movie.
So it's written by J.K. Rowling. This is her first job as a screenwriter.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing.
Well, I mean, I guess when you own it, it's kind of like, yeah, well, no one else.
You're not
writing
it.
She can probably pull her, like, well, I wrote everything else. I should be able to do this. But it takes place 70 years before the events of the first Harry Potter book, and it has nothing to do with the actual...
Hogwarts.
It has nothing to do with the characters in the Harry Potter books, which I think is great.
It's like the Smarillion, then.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's smart?
I think it's the Silmarillion or something. I don't know.
I can't pronounce it.
But anyway,
I read it, but I can't pronounce it.
But so I mean, it's kind of
dyslexia.
Cool...
It is also interesting that I just found out Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was written by the fictional character Newton Artinesfido Newt Scamander, a magizoologist and a former member of Hufflepuff, who was inspired to write the book by his own love for all the creatures great and small. The book is required reading for first-year Hogwarts students, despite the fact that if they don't take care of magical creatures until their third year.
So it was a book
written by a character.
It is a book that they read. In Hogwarts.
And so then she just went through and actually wrote said book. Like, it's real!
Yeah, exactly.
But she's just writing a screenplay for the movie.
No, it was a book.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
okay, cool. Number two.
Number two. Peter Davison,
yes,
one of our favorite doctors from Doctor who happens to be the fifth Doctor, is rumored to be in the Christmas special coming up.
He's not going to be in the Christmas special. It's rumored that he's actually going to be in the 50th anniversary special.
50th anniversary special.
Which is kind of a big deal because for the past few months he's been saying, no, I'm not in that, I'm not in that. Even so far as he and Sylvester McCoy were seen in Britain, like, boycotting the 50th anniversary, and they had, like, picket signs, like, we should be in the special. And, like, but it was clearly, like, tongue-in-cheek and a joke. But everyone was like, why would they do that? Because they're actually not in it. But now it's rumored that he might actually be in it because he did an interview where he mentioned that he had received a script for the episode.
Ooh.
And that also, this time when asked, which previously he's like, no, I'm not in it. This time when asked if he was in the special, just deliberately asked, he said, I can't tell you. Which pretty much tells you.
Yeah.
I hope, because he's my favorite doctor, and I'd love to see him be in the special with the other doctors.
And I love how they'll most likely handle the age difference. Because they've already handled that before.
Yeah, just be like, well, when time streams cross, then
you
look weird.
Genius.
Number three. There are now three contenders, officially, for the role of the Flash, the Teen Arrow. And we'll move on to
the new
Flash movie.
They're actually doing a Flash TV show.
Do we know who the three contenders are? We do.
It's actually not a movie. Sorry, we'll have to correct that. It is... Actually, he's going to be a main character in Arrow for a couple episodes, and then go on to be in his own TV show, and then probably be in the Justice League movie.
Yeah,
essentially.
But just not a Flash movie, at least that we know of. But the three contenders are James McKay, who is an Australian actor. I'm not familiar with him, but he won the Heath Ledger Scholarship Award in 2013.
What does that get you?
I'm not really sure.
He found a Rubik's size of a tangerine.
He's apparently mostly done theater stuff.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting.
Have you guys seen the preview for the new season of Arrow?
Yeah.
I've never seen any of Arrow, but I'm about to review the first season for Fanboy Factor when I get
home. Oh, yeah. What website are you reviewing that?
I'm reviewing it for Fanboy Factor.
Excellent.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Number two is Matt Barr, who, just based on the pictures, looks the most like Barry Allen. Like,
he
looks
blonde.
Like the Flash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. Like, when you look at him, it's like, oh, yeah, that looks like Barry Allen. He's famous for his, well, as famous as he is, for his role in Hatfield and McCoy's.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I hear that role, though. I'm going to Flash. That's a weird thing.
It is kind of weird.
Who wants to go do moonshine and watch me run around the earth?
And then,
hey, you stole my pen!
Hey, all I gotta say is Mr. Mom played Batman, alright?
You're right. Yeah.
Actors have
range.
Yes, range, thank you. My brain went there.
And then the third one is Grant Gustin, who...
G-G.
All I know
Double
him
G.
from
yeah.
is
Double G.
He was in Glee a little bit.
That's
my only
bad.
Problem with him is he's way younger. Like
he's
23, and the others are in their 30s. And if Superman, we already know Superman's 33 in the movie universe.
Right.
Arrow is probably in his 30s. And then Batman clearly is going to be in his 40s. So a 23-year-old Flash would kind of not really fit into that whole thing.
Unless
he'd just be kind of like the cheesy sidekick, you know?
Yeah, he might be 23 and be a man and not have a baby face. There is that.
Well, this guy totally has a baby face. But I'm rooting
Flash
for...
Needs to have a baby
I'm rooting
baby
for,
baby
and I'll put my name on it. I'm rooting for Matt Barr.
Put your name on it.
But all that information we got from Latino Review, who had the story first. Like,
can I ask you a question? Why is Latino Review, of all of the news sources...
They're so accurate all the time. And
how?
So quick.
Get
I don't
that
know.
Coming out of my face!
There are rumors.
Sorry.
There are rumors that Latino Review has an insider in like a lot of Hollywood and the comic book industry.
Oh God! There's so many racist jokes I could make.
Well, you know.
But we'll try to avoid those.
I won't say them. I'm sorry.
But that's it. That's it for our news, and we need to probably move on to the next topic.
Well,
anyway,
well, I want
to
say
the Taffy.
Okay. I want to say a big thanks to Taffy Swopes for doing that.
Yeah,
buddy.
Thanks.
Pulling it off like Taffy.
We'll try to
and that's
sure,
your tagline.
And we'll try to make sure that next week we have like 100% accurate information for her, so we don't throw her the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Because with a little bit of inaccuracy. But anyway. Moving on to the topic because we are running out of time. But
yeah.
we got about 20 minutes, so go.
So, this weekend, well, this past weekend, me, you, Tiffany, and my brother, we all went to Cincinnati Comic Con, first annual Cincinnati Comic Con.
Which I was super excited about at one point, then super disappointed because Bernie Wrightson dropped out.
Yeah.
But then, when I got there, I actually really enjoyed myself.
Sounds like an emotional roller coaster.
It was an emotional roller coaster.
Feels like being pregnant.
The whole road, the actual road we drove on to get to Louisville was like hitting on my wife the whole time.
It was ridiculous.
And being a real jerk.
Yeah, you had to knock it out.
I had to teach that road a lesson.
You sure did.
But anyway,
but
back to the Comic-Con.
And it was my first actual comic convention, and I was thoroughly impressed. I'd been to Gen Con here in Indianapolis, which is a gaming convention, but it completely blew me away. I thought it was fantastic. I spent way too much money. But
I don't know,
reason number one why
yeah,
I didn't go.
Exactly.
I'm rolling nickels.
Yeah, I made a lot. Well,
how long have you been sitting on that? Waiting to use it.
But it was a fun time.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
All of the creators that were there were super nice, really approachable, which is
absolutely.
Sometimes at the bigger cons not as common. But,
impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were super approachable, and they, like, a lot of them did plugs for our intro for the podcast.
Which
and
you guys will hear.
You'll be
hearing
them throughout the week.
Yeah, we have them, yes.
You'll be hearing them out throughout the weeks. We heard Jason Aaron this time.
Yeah.
And,
but my favorite person that I actually got to meet was Chris Burnham, who draws, well, drew Batman Incorporated.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fantastic. He had this really cool art of Daredevil and Rocket Raccoon that I wanted so desperately to buy, but I wasn't allowed to bring home any art. But it was great to meet him.
As it says, like, were we crossing a border?
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, embargo laws?
I literally have no place to put it. Like,
not with that attitude.
No.
We're going to try to smuggle
that. Can't we
that
take
part
down the family portrait?
That art. But, I mean, and we got to meet so many cool, you know, little local artists and everything like that. There was a guy there, and I wish I still had his card, but he was making these paper dolls.
That ruled.
Oh, it was so rad. Of superheroes or whatever.
But they were super intricate
to.
And had moving parts and
like origami or paper mache.
It was more like paper mache.
It was I don't know. It was sort of like origami. It was like just paper. Like the arms were like rolled paper in tubes.
If you see,
but
looks like our muscles.
We'll have to put a picture. We'll
if
picture
you see my profile picture on Facebook. It's of a Thanos that he made. And, like, it comes with the Infinity Gauntlet that you can take off.
Nice.
Yeah, they were awesome.
It was rad. It really was.
Yeah.
And if we had his name, I'd plug him, but I don't.
Yeah, we'll try to get that and mention it next
week. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
But basically, tonight, we didn't do a moment of glory for comics because our moment of glory is actually going to be our personal moments of glory at the con.
Yeah.
So, now it's time for our segment.
In the moment of glory!
Yeah.
Yeah.
My personal moment of glory came when Alec actually helped me achieve my moment of glory. When I was digging through a booth of random stuff, and this may come to a surprise to some of you, but I'm actually a huge Swamp Thing fan. I'm trying to collect every piece of Swamp Thing memorabilia, which is difficult because when the cartoon happened in the 90s, that only lasted 5 episodes. That cartoon just spun out ridiculous licensing. Like, Rose Art got a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And just weird, like, crafty things that...
Everyone's favorite, you know, crown company.
It's difficult to collect. Well, I actually found one holy grails when Alec pointed it out. He goes, "Hey, do you have that Swamp Thing coloring book over there?" And I had to clear it up for him. It's not a Swamp Thing coloring book. It's a Swamp Thing color by numbers collector set.
It's also known.
Oh my god! You nerded on him.
It's also called a coloring book.
It's not a coloring book.
It's also known as a
hilariously book. Called a coloring book for the weekend because it made Warner.
It's not a coloring book. It's why I think a color
it's
by numbers
like a
collector's
paper.
Set.
It's like a paper number, but for coloring. crown.
We'll post a picture of it later. But it's beautiful. And I got it for $10 and none of the pages have been colored.
It's
the crayons are still sealed. It's just awesome. And I got it for $10 and I was like, what? And in that same booth, I got the five...
But you could have gone to a gas station and got a coloring book for
that. Shut up! And then I got a book. And then I got... You just roasted me, so suck a
bam,
butt.
Bam, roasted, suck a butt.
I also got... At that same booth, I got the Swamp Thing animated series, five episodes... The whole five episodes on DVD. Super pumped.
15-minute episodes, so
it's
like
so,
two and a half.
It's so short. But also $10 when, like, online it's like $20 or $30.
And then is there a special feature on there?
Not a one.
So it's just a ninth of a DVD.
Yeah. Is there any Rose Art plugs in front of there? Like, some kid's 1990s, like, coloring
well,
something in their coloring book.
Stamps.
No,
I wish I had a Rose
Art. No, but in all seriousness, I joke about the Swamp Thing stamps, but if anyone finds the three Swamp Thing stamps from Rose Art, very cheap, let me know, because I need those still.
For your coloring.
Define me.
Alec, what was your moment of glory?
Well, for
a moment of glory.
I meant that. I do want to say, because I'm so happy that I was able to find that, but I do love about the DVD that they didn't even try.
Oh, yeah. It's like a bootleg copy of the DVD, because there's not actually a DVD of it, but someone had put these together. And so the cover art actually looks really legit. Like, they did a really good job with that. When you open up the
it's
DVD...
It's like a Memorex.
It's seriously like blank Memorex. They didn't even put a...
DVD
like,
minus R.
They didn't even put, like, a super stretched image sticker on there
nothing.
Like you would typically get. Just
that's,
like,
that's the mental image
they
I
like,
had this guy
they
making
like,
this movie.
Was it Sharpie?
They didn't even, like, Sharpie have
no,
it on
like,
it. It's just a blank
screw
DVD.
Screw it.
That you just put some nerd about. This is what the color is.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was $10.
With the what?
And it's awesome. It's not a coloring book. Moving on.
Anyway,
to moment of glory.
So, my favorite movie of all time is Ghostbusters, and they had a working Ecto-1 there.
What?
Yeah.
It was so great. The only thing they didn't do is they didn't play the Ghostbusters theme song by Ray Parker Jr., unfortunately, which they would have been easy. But they had Ecto-1, they had a proton pack, they had a guy walking around in a Ghostbusters outfit, which is fine. They had the actual Ghostbusters video game playing. I literally spent probably 25 minutes just kind of just staring at this thing and losing my mind. But
it was a beautiful sight.
It was awesome. And then my second favorite movie of all time is Back to the Future. And they had a working DeLorean as well that you could sit in for $20, which is
strange enough.
Way too expensive.
I have a friend, not a friend, I guess it'd be an acquaintance, but he actually owns a DeLorean. He
you
recently
know
just bought one. Colin Brown? Nobody?
I don't know.
Well, he just bought one. He's been geeking out about it. It's really
weird.
You
know,
I know someone who owns a DeLorean.
What's weird is I actually did some research because I need a new car. Like,
they're terrible cars.
That's not a good
horrible
one to get.
No, they're horrible cars. But, like, if all of the fantasy cars that you can get, like, you know, people or whatever, you can get a DeLorean for, like, $20,000. Like, not even that
There's
serious.
An episode of Raising Hope where they actually sell...
Yeah, I've seen it.
To,
yeah,
to Doc Brown. Like,
it's
freaking awesome.
To Christopher Lloyd. But, like...
No, it's Doc Brown.
You're right.
I'm sorry.
Doc Brown plays Christopher Lloyd in real life.
Exactly.
We should have just had a solid, like...
Marty!
But they had a working DeLorean, and it was ridiculous.
The fact that you have to say they had a working
right,
DeLorean...
Right, because that is
an idea.
Because there's so many non-working...
Like, do you know why
but
that thing
one...
only went 88 miles an
yeah.
hour? Because, like, that was as fast
21.
As it could go.
21.1 gigawatts!
But it wasn't just, like, the one from the first movie. It was also the one from the second, because it had the thing on the back where you could put garbage in.
Yeah,
the
nuclear
cool.
thingamajig.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's actually... It was actually really cool, because it was like... Straight out of the movie.
Yeah,
and, like,
it was so
you look in the door, and there was just, like, all kinds of nonsense going on in there
yeah.
that I really...
And they had a TARDIS. It wasn't working, unfortunately, but...
We all took pictures
yep.
of the TARDIS.
Is there...
We posted those last week.
Tiffany, what was your memory of?
My moment of glory was the TARDIS, actually.
I'm so sorry I took it.
Because you did. That's okay. You just tapped all over that. It's fine.
Story of my life.
Oh, Taffy!
Oh!
But I wasn't a huge Doctor Who fan for a while, and it really annoyed me that Warner would spend hours watching David Tennant cry.
What's
it made
so,
me
so he cried in one episode.
It made me so annoyed that he wouldn't spend time with me. And then I started watching Matt Smith's Doctor and freaking fell in love with that fish custard boy.
Yeah.
It was
the best show ever.
If I had a nickel.
You Scottish fry something.
This
I love
was like
it.
The first con that I actually was like, I really dig Doctor Who and I kind of know a little bit about it because I've been with Matt Smith from the beginning and I'm
sure.
super not excited.
How is he outside?
For Research Generation.
Yeah, outside of being a doctor. How is he?
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Really fine.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Really fine.
Fine. He's a little
hipsterish. He's like the weirdest looking guy. No offense
yeah.
to him.
He's
no,
super, uber cute.
If you listen to the podcast,
he's an odd looking man.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
He's cute. I think he's cute. That was one of my moments of glory, and the fact that everybody thought our son was super adorable, and he had a flashback.
He was awesome.
Yes.
Can I tell my story about the other morning real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
okay,
know.
So...
Well, I don't know this story.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I almost didn't know this story, because that's part of the story.
Right, I'm super groggy getting, an energy drink before work, and I'm, looking down on the floor, and I see a baby just kind of, waving around, and I'm like, why do I recognize that baby? And I slowly look up, I'm like, oh, hi, Warner.
Yeah, we're at the same gas station at the same time.
That's hilarious.
Because I didn't even notice each other, because we were so tired, just, getting energy drinks or coffee or whatever.
And Jude's just like, hey, Brian.
Exactly. He was sucking on a chocolate milk.
Because I was getting donuts and chocolate milk, and I just handed the bottle of chocolate milk because I needed him to hold it for me. And he was chewing on the bottle.
And just drooling all over
Sorry,
to the point, when Warner went to pay for it, he actually, wiped out his
hand and I give him pizza.
And I'll shoot
I
him
said
up.
That tonight. I said, it's funny how Jude stops crying when I feed him pizza.
Hey, it worked in Ghostbusters 2.
That's right.
Pass dry out.
Yeah.
I think my other moment of glory was chasing down people to do... talks.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really fun,
yeah.
And and the fact that this con was actually run by Tony Moore and his wife.
Yeah.
And we met them and actually got to talk to them at the last con, and they were super awesome. So
yeah.
I was really happy.
Yeah, everybody that I actually met was super nice. Jason Aaron was great. Chris Burnham was great. Ryan Stegman was awesome.
I wish we could have got him.
I bet he got called Stegosaurus. That's totally his nickname.
Oh, dang, I should... Was actually following one.
Next time, try it out.
Yeah.
Can I call you Stegosaurus?
can I please call you that?
But I thought it was really cool that, specifically Ethan Van Sciver and
I was getting around to it. Yeah.
Who both we didn't get anything signed by them. I've had stuff signed by them thousands of times before.
I know I got something signed by.
But I didn't really chase them down for signatures. But they still were totally down for doing the podcast intro.
Yeah.
Even though we weren't in line for signings or anything, I was just like, hey, we do this podcast in Indianapolis. And we'd really love it if you could, plug it. And we, I told all of them, we talk about your books, and...
Because we do.
Ethan Van Sciver was the only one who was like, I'll only do it if you talk good about my books. But he was so funny the whole time,
yeah,
his intro
was
kind of, joking around.
Really
I think part of that probably is, at one point, they were just fans.
Oh, sure.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So they're like, hey, I would totally love to fuel your fire.
Yeah. And I don't think...
Good fire.
Justin?
I don't think any of them actually, would care whether we talk good or bad about their books. They would have done it anyway.
Because there's
really
Twitter,
enjoy.
So,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Stop... Five people.
But
yeah.
What and I loved was all of the art there that they were selling, their respective artists and things like that. They were so cheap, and if I could have brought home art, I would have gotten stuff from Burnham, from Stegosaurus. And,
yes.
from everybody, because it was great. And Tony Moore, unfortunately, I didn't actually see him.
He was so busy running the con. When I saw him, he had a headpiece connected to a walkie-talkie and three of the volunteers were coming to meet with him, and he was frantic, and I still stopped him and was like, hey, and I was like, hey, we met a couple times before at other cons, but I wanted to see if you could do this thing for me. He's like, oh yeah, sure. And I told him we'd talk about the con a little bit, and we ended up talking about it a lot tonight.
Which
and we also actually wrote reviews for Fanboy Factor about our experience at the con, so you should check that out. And
fanboyfactor.com, you can see our recap of it. and I think that's going to do it. You can follow us on Twitter at NerdMGMT. I'm also at the Alec Ward on Twitter.
And I'm at Warner Swopes.
A caveman.
And I'm at Queen Swopes.
Soon to be at Taffy Swopes.
Yes, absolutely. I'm at Jay Sameless, but don't follow me. I don't like you. No, I'm just kidding. Follow me if you want.
Chris, what's...
I'm here, nor there, nor anywhere.
We're going to make you a Twitter. You know that.
Right? We're going to make you a fake Twitter.
Yeah.
There's one out there. If you can find me.
Can I please make one?
No, there's going to be a fake Twitter.
You can follow
me. I will update that more than I update mine.
Yeah,
so anyway, check us out on Twitter. Like us
on
Facebook.
Yes, like us and share us on Facebook.
We have a website coming very soon.
Yes.
But we're still going to continue with our partnership with Fanboy Factor.
Yes.
So check us out there.
We have a webmaster,
and, yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah. And like us and then share us on Facebook. We do really enjoy whenever you guys are commenting and everything. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about it live.
Keep using
the
hashtags, keep using the apps and whatnot.
We
and,
love your interactions.
And also,
period.
While you're at it and on the internet, make sure to check the completed auctions on eBay.